Live from the EPB Fiber Optic Studio, this is WLND Signal Mountain, Chattanooga.
Health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and so much more. Welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production of Whitfield Media Group, with your hosts, Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World, and Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical doctor.
Good morning and welcome to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. Thank you for taking your time on this Sunday morning to join us. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones, owner of Nutrition World here in Chattanooga, and joining me is Dr. Christopher Green, board-certified medical physician and chief of staff, CHI Memorial, Georgia. And good morning, Dr. Green.
Good morning, Ed. As always, it is excellent to be with you this morning, this wonderful Sunday morning. By way of introduction to our listeners, as some of them may recall and some may not know, I'm a board-certified family practice physician, as you have said, coming from a long line of about 150 years of primary care physicians in my family. We now have some specialists, sorry about that, but mostly primary care physicians in my lineage, which is a proud tradition. I also have special interests in sports medicine, hospice, home health, physical therapy, typical family practice doctor. We love just about everything and can't make our minds up. As to that which we love the most, I've been here about 25 years, just love working in the Chattanooga and Northwest Georgia area for CHI Memorial. Very glad with all that CHI is doing in Northwest Georgia, and I love to toot their horn for that. And it's my pleasure to be the chief of staff at CHI Memorial Georgia. Ed, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, sir. My history is about 40 years now, coming this December with Nutrition World. And we are what we are calling ourselves is a wellness center now rather than a vitamin or health food store. And we certainly do have a strong roots in the community with, you know, offering nutrients and offering hopefully education, healthy foods. We really focus on local, like local organic grass-fed beef. We have salmon, we have buffalo, we have many different herbs and olive oil and things that we get from the local people who are entrepreneurs, farmers, etc. And our mission and path is truly to empower people to build and maintain their health. And we and I am seeing such a great merging of my world and the world that you are deeply ingrained in, Dr. Green, which is mainstream medicine. And it's a real blessing to me to see that we finally have, at least some of us, have put down the swords and decided that we are much better as partners than we are enemies.
Absolutely.
And, you know, this show is a perfect example of that. We discuss with every show, we have no script, basically, so we just have our ideas and we, you know, learn from each other, and we hopefully the listeners are also benefiting, which I know they are because I'm getting more and more feedback from people on, you know, on the street, in my store, that they are enjoying this show. And, you know, it is on vitalhealthradio.com, the past shows. So anyone who wants to log on and listen to the others in their iPod or car or whatever, please log on to vitalhealthradio.com.
You know, I'm finding the same thing from the traditional medicine side, that patients that are coming in as well as students working with me are pleased that my eyes are open to non-traditional methods, non-traditional techniques. And some are coming in immediately asking about those things, others that have no idea what we're doing, and I get to tell them. But those people are surprised when I come up with a non-traditional approach. And frankly, that seems to be, and I'm not saying right or wrong, but more popular nowadays, at least just in the general population. I find that my patients are pleased to not go on what they look as a medication. From my standpoint, as a traditional medicine doctor, I think that these non-traditional approaches and treatments that we recommend, they are medications. From my standpoint, God made all these things, and these are medications that work in the body, for better or for worse, but they like staying out, let's say, of the pharmaceutical industry, and they feel safer going with something that is more natural, and it's making for a lot of happier patients, and frankly, working very well.
I appreciate that viewpoint, because I can tell you from the country that I live in, which is nutritional, holistic, integrative, functional. We have many words that describe the philosophy of nutritional therapy. And if the physicians in this town, and I know many are doing this like you are, and but again, it's a slow change. The customers and clients that I talk to daily, which I talk to, we have about 250 customers a day, and I talk to, you know, 20 to 30, and that's a lot when you discuss. We're not talking a one-minute conversation. Usually people, you know, it's 5 to 10 minutes with each person. And they will give me feedback, then they'll say, you know, I've been going to this one doctor for years and years, and, you know, all he wants to do is Medicaid, and all he has in his basic arsenal is pharmaceuticals. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they'll make a comment like, hey, you know, I went to this new doctor, and, you know, he said, have you tried a certain herb or something? And they were like blown away. All it takes is one single recommendation of something natural, and they have like been blessed, or their patient thinks they're, you know, way up there on the pedestal, because they know they're an open-minded healthcare professional. And patients don't expect expertise in this field, but they do expect open-mindedness, because the world has changed. And if you hold on to the 1970s and 80s philosophy that, you know, all only health and health-giving pills come from the pharmaceutical world, you're going to start sliding down, because it's just not going to go back to that. We need the blending of both, mm-hmm. and we use drugs when appropriate, and we use nutrients and herbs when they're also appropriate, because they have such a safety track record. And are they totally safe? No, you have to use everything with wisdom. I tell people every single day, you know, if they tell me, you know, can I take this herb because I'm on these pharmaceuticals? First off, I say, legally, I can't tell you what you can and cannot do with your pharmaceutical. You would legally need to ask your physician or your pharmacist to ensure, but we also will give them information where they can on their own. It can research it, because 80 to 90% of these questions is clearly answered these days. There's about 10% where there's a really iffy component to it. And that's where, you know, we have to make sure that the client, patient is doing their homework, or the physician knows their stuff. And what aggravates me is when, you know, a certain healthcare professional just has a blanket statement. If you're on any pharmaceuticals, you can't take anything that's natural. Well, that's old school, and it's not going to get it in the future. We have to be helpers and researchers on this path for our clients and patients, because they are demanding these answers, and they are not going to go silent any longer.
You know, it goes both ways as well. I've known plenty of people, some very good friends that are, they seem morally and ethically opposed. It's almost a spiritual belief that all pharmaceuticals are evil and no one should ever take them for any purpose whatsoever. And I've met some non-traditional providers that feel the same way. So once again, the truth is somewhere in the middle, that each point of view has value, and you need to open up your mind and actually research and learn. And that's another good thing about our show. You and I on this show can help to educate people. Hopefully both practitioners and patients will open their minds to both viewpoints and end up in the middle, where they're going to consider their options and make an educated, informed decision.
That's wonderful. I mean, in fact, you know, 2 weeks ago, I had asked you about the fact that I had been bitten by two ticks, which is common because I'm in the woods sometimes a significant amount. And I'm, you know, one that leans strongly toward natural remedies, of course, and leans somewhat strongly away from personal use of pharmaceuticals unless I really need them. And I ask you, I said, you know, if this tick bite gets bullseye, if it gets way it looks like infected, or it gets really swollen, you know, should I do doxycycline? Yes, you said, and I said, I will do this if I justify it. Well, luckily it went away and everything seemed to be fine. And one day I want to talk to you about something that it may be new to you, because I actually have never ran across a healthcare professional so far that has any experience with this, but a person like you would want to know about it, I think. And it's a drug. It's the only drug I take. I do it every single night. And it's called low-dose naltrexone. Mm-hmm. And to me, I think there are five drugs that are absolute miracles for regular daily use. And low-dose naltrexone is number one. And I'm not going to talk about it right now. We will perhaps even have one of our 14-minute segments. You and I can discuss that, because I've been on and off of it for about 7 years. And I really find it to be a value for so many reasons, from, you know, autoimmune components to gut health to multiple things. So any listener right now who wants to learn about it, they can just type in low-dose naltrexone, N-A-L-T-R-E-X-O-N-E.
Out of curiosity, just for any listeners that may be researching why you do that, of course, I know the medical uses. It's in combination in some other drugs. So I know why I would use it. What is the purpose for which you use it? Let me just ask that. It's kind of a complicated question, but basically, why do you do this?
Well, it's a drug that is used in high doses to treat opiate addiction. But what they found accidentally was, in teeny doses, we're talking 1 to 3 milligrams, it actually sends a message to the immune system to be incredibly effective for removing unhealthy cells in the body. And okay. And it also instructs cells that are confused, which we call autoimmune, to perhaps get back to the normal way that and healthy functioning of that cell. Okay. And nothing I've seen has ever done what low-dose naltrexone does. And I'm finding with dogs that it's miraculous to extend the lifespan of a dog when they have a terminal diagnosis. I have seen dogs live an extra, what we think would be 1 to 2 good years, because of a low-dose naltrexone prescription. And I would gather to say that even veterinarians don't know about it. So that's one great thing about this show.
I can agree with you on that. That's something, you know, while we were talking, I'm looking up all of the FDA indications and the way it's used both by itself and in combination. And of course, that's not one of them. So that'll be something that I will be looking into.
Wonderful. Well, it's already time for us to take a break. And when we come back, we are going to be discussing a very interesting topic with a gentleman named Tim Russell, and it will be on craniosacral therapy. I'm not going to say much more about it. I have been involved with it for years, and I am a huge fan of Tim Russell and this therapy. So we've got all of that plus more to come. For Dr. Christopher Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet, and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, along with my partner, Dr. Christopher Green, and we are here with an exciting segment with a gentleman named Tim Russell. And I have known Tim Russell since the mid-1990s, and he does a very, very rare therapy, actually. I don't think many people are aware of it, called craniosacral or manual therapy. Welcome, Tim.
Hey, thanks for having me.
I want to say how much I appreciate you coming in. And personally, I think I have been a junkie, I guess I would say, of therapy and therapist over my long career of 40 years being in the holistic field. And Tim has, back in the day, has probably done more hands-on work on me than most likely any other therapist, because I love what is called cranial sacral or manual therapy. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, for a person, of course, who doesn't know anything, which is 99.9% of the people, what is it that I'm referring to?
Yeah, so two things. Cranial sacral therapy is a specific modality, and manual therapy is an umbrella term. Manual just means you work with your hands. And developing one's hands is an old skill. Ever since there's been people There have been people hurting themselves and using their hands to help themselves. So hands-on therapy, manual therapy is the umbrella term. And then from that, a manual therapist can develop a huge toolbox or a narrow toolbox based on their interests. And so specifically to your question, craniosacral therapy is a therapy that originated with an osteopath named William Sutherland. And he trained with an osteopath that started the whole field, Andrew Still. And the idea is that you're going to be working with the body at the layer right around the brain and spinal cord. That brain and spinal cord is protected by a dura. The dura membrane means durable, heavy strength. Like dura mater means tough mother. I like that. Anyway, that membrane can contract. It keeps the cerebral spinal fluid inside around the brain and spinal cord and keeps everything else on the outside. And when I started studying that modality, I found some pretty amazing results that were possible were deep tissue massage and neuromuscular therapy and myofascial release that I'd been studying prior to that wasn't addressing. That's more on the surface of the body, which I think is kind of interesting. Deep tissue massage sounds really deep. It's only the surface. Deep is around the layer of the brain and spinal cord. You can't go any deeper in the body unless you're inside the working with structures deeper inside that. So that's a good start. Any questions so far?
Yeah, absolutely. The you know, for someone to picture in their mind, and I know you have a lot of modalities under that umbrella, but of course, the one I have experienced the vast amount of time was when you were treating me with the craniosacral, where I was on a massage table on my back, and you were doing this very light technique on my skull. That's the way I would interpret it. I don't have the words you have. And I'm trying to, you know, create what my feelings were about that. And I know you'll expand on this, but I can tell you that I left that 60-minute session far different than I arrived. And I did that every single time. And clarify for me the fact that I'm an amateur of explaining it, but the cerebrospinal fluid has a rhythm to it, and it naturally should be, I guess I would use the word pulsating or moving in a certain rhythm. And many times when that gets off or unhealthy in the way that it's doing it, then negative things can happen, from pain in the body to even emotions and anxiety. And when you do your therapy, you're actually tuning that up. I mean, tell me if that is a correct way to talk about it.
I'm going to throw in a quick question. While Tim was talking, I was wondering, as a medical doctor, why would I send someone there? And I'm going to move that question into you. So if I'm sending someone, say, to physical therapy, I know exactly what diagnosis I am sending them for, why, you know, mm-hmm. what I want them to do and why. So my question, well, to Tim, one of the questions will be, why do people typically go? What symptoms prompt them to seek his help? And for you, Ed, why did you go? What were your symptoms, or what were you thinking that you would achieve when you first went?
Well, again, I am a guinea pig because I want to test things so that I can be educated to inform, you know, the community when they ask me. I don't know if I had actually had a specific reason other than I'm always trying to attain optimal health in both the physical and the emotional areas of my body. And once I experienced one or two sessions with Tim Russell, I was hooked because, you know, he worked at Nutrition World for many, many years, and then he moved downtown. And I truly have missed him being close because I don't have the time to go like I would, of course, if he's in the building. So, Tim, I guess those two questions, am I describing it kind of right? And then what Dr. Green said, what would be a normal reason that a healthcare professional would recommend you for your therapy?
You're doing a good job explaining your experience, which is what gets me the most referrals, actually, is people who've been on my table who've experienced the work, and they say the same various things, because most people can't explain it, and I don't expect them to like I do. But they say, I don't know what he did, but I felt better. I felt the change, and he didn't use a lot of pressure.
Is that a physical or emotional change? I guess that's what I'm getting. Is it more of a, that you come out more relaxed, or might they have gone in, say, with headaches and come out feeling better? That's an example.
So that's great. I would say both. You to speak to the emotional part, we always have emotions interplayed with the physical and the mind, our thoughts. So I tell people the body is always listening to our mind, and if it provokes an emotional response, that's going to show up somewhere in the tissues as well. And that's what I use, is my hands to listen to those patterns in the body. And as far as, there's not a typical reason people see me. I've seen, the youngest person I've seen has been 6 days old, a newborn.
Wow.
The oldest has been 98 years old, and she drove herself to the appointment.
Incredible.
Mm. And you, I love the way that you explain the fact that you are listening, because you are what I would consider, you know, an intuitive healer. There is no doubt. And you know, to me, that's a great a gift. It isn't something you can always learn. And I don't know if I've ever been around another, what I would call a healer, that has traveled the world as much as you, Tim, and has learned from so many of the regarded experts in your field. And, you know, I know it's a tough question, like Dr. Green was asking, because, you know, he's coming from a place of, you know, he needs to have basic, like, kind of like black and white, you know, ideas of what, why would I do this? Why would I recommend? And I can tell just from a massive amount of feedback that I get from the clients that I speak to over the years, especially since you left Nutrition World probably 12 or 14 years ago. I mean, it's not unusual for me to hear your name every week. And, you know, it's all over the board. I mean, people are telling me, you know, my anxiety improved, my pain in my big toe got better, you know, digestion. It is the fact that, the mind and the body are so interconnected, but sometimes they get like on their different wavelengths and paths, and they don't work well when they're not communicating. And you have the ability to hook those telephone lines back up, almost like a cell phone that's been disconnected. And when that happens, healing starts to occur. So I'm probably speaking for you. There isn't a standard reason or protocol why a person would come to you, other than I love the TMJ thing, because I'm always recommending people to go to you that has the anything with the jaw and the head and nerve disorders. So, I mean, is that a common part of your practice?
It really is. Craniosacral therapy, because it has the word cranium in it, people are going to think head, so headaches, vertigo.
Yes, vertigo.
Yeah, vertigo is huge. In fact, I love getting people that have vertigo, because I have a pretty, that's one of the higher percentages success rates I see with people.
Is your therapy different than, say, the Epley maneuvers?
Very different.
Okay, mm-hmm. I figured it would be. I just was curious.
Yes, yes. TMJ and ringing in the ears, that's probably the conditions I've treated with the head. Tinnitus has probably been the toughest, because there's a lot of, as well, Dr.
That's
Green
one of the told, toughest for us as well.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, I liked how you talked about the, you know, I look at us as being body, mind, soul, spirit. It's all tied together. And so often the emotional state of, well, myself or my patient will have an effect on the body. It really does. So there are so many people that come in, I see that, I feel that, and that might actually be a reason to have them come and talk with you, because I know it's all tied together. So that was part of the question. You answered the other one too. If there are headaches, more concrete problems, TMJ, tinnitus, there may be some more concrete specific diagnoses for which they may go as well. But, you know, really the bigger problem that I see in life, I mean, so many people going around feeling so bad because they're under stress, they're anxious, they're depressed, and they feel horrible. And that is a problem every day in my practice for people.
Yes, yes. And I tell people all the time, I don't treat diagnoses. I listen to people. And that's huge, because the idea of cause and effect, oh, you have this problem, we can mechanically fix that, that's a very limited model. I use a model that says we were created to last a whole lifetime, and our bodies heal during the process of that. And that's what I'm hopefully nudging a little bit in the body each time I work, is that capacity is self-correct and self-replicate and grow. So I don't even look at it as a disease model. I look at it as a health and wellness or growth and development model, where if a person's very healthy, they're going to solve their own problems. They'll get over a headache. They will get over the tinnitus. They'll get over the flu. They get over broken bones if they're set properly. So the idea really is treat the person, listen to find what the body's trying to do, and support that.
Wow, that, you know, that's music to my ears, Tim. Why don't you tell the listeners how they could get in touch with you? And I will say this, we will have your business cards at Nutrition World. So if they need that, they can call or come by, and we can give them your information. But tell them on the radio here how they would want to contact you next week if they felt like that you were offering something they wanted to pursue.
Sure. Right now, the best way is my business phone number, which is 423-643-1965.
Yeah, that's great. And you are located downtown?
I am. I'm on the metropolis now of Southside on Main Street. I work with CHI Memorial Integrative Medicine Associates with Dr. Jeff Jump and Dr. Mary McKenzie.
And how long is a normal session? Is it 60 or 90 minutes? I'm not recalling.
Yeah, 60 is typical. I do treat people for 90-minute segments if that's what they want. First visit's always 90 minutes. I don't charge extra for that first time. Still my hourly rate, which is $100 for an hour. After that, if they really like that hour and a half time slot, that's $145. And I do something that's a little different too. I schedule 30 minutes between my appointments to let my hands and my mind rest, rather than book back to back to back, because I found a long time ago that when I book people back to back, somebody's going to run late and throw my whole day off, and then I get stressed and all of a sudden I'm not working very well anymore. So I only see 5 or 6 people a day, 3 in the morning, 3 in the afternoon. I could see more, but I'm not doing as good a work if I see more typically.
Wow. I call that wisdom, Tim. Thank you so much. It's already time for us to take a break. And when we come back, Dr. Green and I will be discussing other very exciting health topics. So we've got all of that plus more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones. Stay with us.
We're all about healthy living and enjoying life. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Akin, thank you for making us a part of your day. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I'm Ed Jones, back again with my good partner friend, Dr. Christopher Green. Hello again, Dr. Green.
Good to see you, Ed.
You know, I'm like you. I get questions all day long. I go to work. I work 6 days a week. And, you know, we both have reputations for, I guess, people have confidence in the fact that we have a lot of years of experience. Then experience doesn't always equate to knowledge and wisdom. But I certainly would like to brag on both of us. And I do believe that, you know, people do respect that in us.
I like experience better than old. Thank you, Ed.
Well, I'm a little tad bit older than you, but I'm proud of it. The gray hairs, I have earned every one, and I have no problem now with age. I will have to say that it was a little bit of soul searching when I did turn 60, because to me, that definitely enters me into the fourth quarter of my life. And, you know, half time is long time gone. And I had to regroup, because, you know, any dreams that I had or any hopes and wishes, you know, I better be pursuing it now, because one of the biggest delusions that I certainly have lived with is that there's plenty of time left. And it's simply, in my life, I've realized that is not true. Why I'm saying all this, I don't know. I guess I'm doing my own psychological counseling here on the air with, you know, 1,000 people. But it's been good for me. And I've found a great peace, much more than I anticipated, after I really worked on this 60-year-old birthday. But one thing that I continue to get questions every single day, and it seems to be epidemic, is anxiety, nervousness, lack of peace, and many people, when you get truly anxious, and I certainly have been there in the past, you at a certain point, you're willing to grab anything. And that's why we have a nation full of alcoholics, and we have people who are addicted to pharmaceuticals and addicted to street drugs, because they're looking for just anything that can pull that demon off their back.
You know, I think the anxiety, depression, this is just common to the human condition. It was on my mind that one thing you didn't mention, if we're talking about anxiety and depression, the difference in how men view that and women, I've learned that women are living in a community of women and they know they're not alone. We men, if we fight depression or anxiety, think we're the only people on earth that are having this, and we usually don't talk to anybody. You know, granted, you and I are in businesses that people come to us and talk. I'm amazed at the differences in the way men versus women view anxiety and depression and the way they deal with it. I guess you've seen the same thing.
Boy, you know, that is so accurate. Us men are simply naturally seem to be reserved in regard to being honest with expressing the feelings that are part of the anxiety package. And, you know, we want to present what we're kind of taught, I think, as we're younger, which is the tough guy, we can handle it, you know, just suck it up and go on. And I'm a huge fan of optimism and, you know, pulling yourself up when you're down and forging forward. But I also realize that extreme honesty, revealing and digging deep into your inner emotions that have come through decades of life, is a healing path that we all have to at a certain point journey through, or else we're going to be pretending and we're going to just kind of be treating the symptom and treading water for the remainder of our days. And that's sometimes a very difficult, hot place to go into, which is your own demons. Saying that, you know, I'm kind of coming from the point of, you know, a person comes to you or myself and they're like simply not functioning. And because of anxiety, there's nothing truly physically wrong. They seem to be healthy from as far as you're checking them out and as far as they know, but they're not sleeping. Or the big one is, oh, I can go to sleep, but I wake up constantly all night long. And so what kind of advice do you give your patients when they're coming to you and they're basically saying these things and saying, I just need help. I got to get through the next week and I don't know how I'm going to do it because I'm so tired, I'm so anxious. What do you advise them?
Oh, do we have a few more hours in this segment, Ed? So that would take a few hours to go into that. And each visit is individual. I don't go in the room planning on saying one thing or another, or asking one question or another, or prescribing a particular drug or recommending, you know, something over the counter. I walk in with an open mind and a blank slate, and I start listening. I think Tim was talking about listening with his hands. For me, asking pertinent questions, but just sitting back and actually letting the person talk, whether male or female, tell me what's wrong with you. Why are you where you are? And there are so many, as I'm listening to Tim, so many things that are applicable to me as well. My father, as you know, and I guess a lot of the listeners may or may not know, but was a family practice doctor for many years in the Northwest Georgia area. At the end of his life, he gave me 3 pearls of wisdom. But one of those pearls of wisdom was always touch the patient. Always touch the patient. I'm amazed how many people come in and say they never touched me. Another is, you talked about the power of positive thinking. I'm a big believer in that too, that your outlook, your view on life, your optimism does have an effect actually on your body and your state of mind. And I'm not looking at false hope. I'm just talking about resetting your mind to have that positive attitude. And basically, for me, I look at that as like fighting any adversity I'm facing. But for the Ralph Green method, my father, he always said, tell them they're going to get better. Tell them that. Make sure they know that they're going to be okay. So just in a nutshell, if I'm talking to this individual, who has depression or anxiety, I am trying to get to the root of how they got to that point. But part of my job is to analyze that, figure out if there is something I can do, whether traditional or non-traditional medicine, to help them. But also just to make sure, you know, for me, you know that I do a lot of spiritual counsel. I'm trying to make sure they know that it's going to be okay. Where do they find strength? How are they going to make it through? Make sure they have a good supportive network for themselves. For women, I find that very easy. They have 15 or 20 friends they've already confided in a family network. For men, that's a lot harder. If you ask most men, tell me your five closest friends, they sit there in silence. For women, they can't stop talking. So it's different as to the gender of the person I'm talking to and as for their history. But the main thing I'm trying to do is figure out how they got to the point, what they're suffering from, and making sure, you know, what I can do from a counsel standpoint or from medicinal or over-the-counter to make them feel better. But oftentimes we're not starting out straight with medications, especially if it's something short-term. If it is something longer-term, that may be something we do. Your thoughts?
Wow, you know, I so wish that everyone had your philosophy that was in the mainstream medicine field. I did not know your father, but he obviously was a very wise man. And somewhere along the line, and I'm certainly not saying that I have that wisdom, however, I learned somewhere about maybe 10 years ago, I felt a huge shift in people when I finished talking to them and they were in a very nervous state, concerned, fearful place. And at the end, I would touch them on their shoulder. Mm-hmm. And I didn't always say anything super optimistic, and sometimes I would, but the touch itself, I could feel a shift. We are so deficient in human contact, especially contact that has faith and optimism wrapped around it, that it is the best medicine almost that I think either of our fields have. And mainstream medicine certainly has disconnected from that. It's become more of a mechanical model, which it has for many decades. You know, I still remember the old shows on TV with the docs, you know, who went and made house calls, mm-hmm. and they were so comforting. And, you know, you would always see them, you know, touch the patient. They would do, even with a stethoscope or something, they would have the other hand on the shoulder or somewhere on the body. And, you know, it felt good watching that, much less actually getting it done. And, you know, I don't give fake or, you know, artificial hope when someone is desperately having troubles. But I do give a lot of confidence that it will get better. I know there's possibilities, and the body and the spirit has the ability to rebound. We are freaking tough individuals. We were put on this earth to withstand epidemics and droughts and starvation and big animals and all the things that come with surviving. And yet for some reason we all doubt ourselves these days. But part of that doubting comes from the fear-based models that are in place. Everything that we go and see and listen to is about someone who's going to rescue us if you spend the money. And so we almost feel like we have to have a whole group of rescuers. Well, these rescuers are normally not very compassionate. They're just selling something.
Ed, you talk about how tough we are. And I mean, physically, yes, we're designed that way. But think about if you're suffering with depression or anxiety, it's a helpless feeling. You can't put a Band-Aid on that. You can't sew it up. You can't splint it. There's no operation to take it out of you. And I think that's what I sense from people so much, is that utter sense of helplessness, hopelessness. You know, how do I get out of here? I can't. Somebody help me. And that's the thing that hurts me so bad when they're in. And I guess you have that empathic gene as well. I'm sure Tim does, that you want to just reach in and pull them out of this deep hole of despair that they're in. It's a long process, but if they know they have somebody alongside them that does care, that does love them, that is empathic towards what they're going through, maybe that's already, you know, frankly, you have to be more seasoned, you have to be older and have suffered through it to have any empathy whatsoever for those who are going through it. You have to have been there yourself. And the good thing about being older is, well, we've all been there at some point in our lives, maybe different circumstances, but that helps us to say, it's okay, I will help you with this. We are going to pull you out. It's going to be okay.
Absolutely. And, you know, we are in a world where people feel so alone and in solitude that there isn't help. But I think both what you're saying is so wise, which is when you're in that super dark place, we need the knowledge and the feelings that there is someone who can help us. But along with that, that person who's helping hopefully is improving our internal feelings that we have the ability to weather this storm. And because we can, if we can put our pieces of the puzzle together. Now, you know, we're going to run out of time here very quickly. The one or two nutritional things, not that there's always a pill to fix these ailments or these disorders, but I am a huge fan of using something called GABA.
Yeah, me too.
And GABA is a natural neurotransmitter that many of us seem to have decreasing amounts as we get older or have anxiety. And it's a thing that can calm the mind. If you have a lot of natural GABA, you have a better sense of well-being and peace, and you're not quite thrown off the horse with every little event that happens. I use GABA most nights. I'm in a place of my life where I'm probably the most contented and joyous that I have ever been in all of my 60 years. But I've kind of had that ingrained waking up during the night for so many decades that it's just part of me. And it's okay. Coming to peace with that is half the battle of actually overcoming it. So when I wake up, as I did last night at 12:30, I have these 1,000 milligrams worth of GABA, and I have it very handy near my bed, and I will take that. It calms the mind back down, and I just need this calming. And the thing about GABA is it's totally safe. It isn't addictive. You can use it as often as you want. The downside is it only lasts 3 to 4 hours. You do have to use about 1,000 milligrams in most cases. It's not a drug like Xanax that will really take your level of 10 down to a level of 2. It will take it from a 10 to a 6. That's still very manageable, and it helps you get back to deep sleep. The reason we don't sleep deeply is because many times there's the cognitive popcorn that starts happening during the sleep when you wake up, of thinking of all the to-do list and the concerns. And most of the time, those thoughts during the night really never produce any outcomes or solutions or options. They are just circulating like a hamster on a wheel, and they just keep going around and round and just wear us down. You know, if it was producing solutions, it might be worthy of withstanding, but it doesn't. So
yeah, I do the same thing, GABA, recommending that. So that's, I find that to be effective. Sometimes essential oils in a diffuser, lavender, frankincense. There are other modalities I've used. I also share with them the things I do, which is, you know, prayer, meditation, music, my guitar, exercise. You know, those are my own coping mechanisms, so I try to share them all.
Wonderful, wonderful. We all need a toolbox ready. We don't wait to the huge event to happen and then accumulate the toolbox. I mean, if you're going to learn to jump out of airplanes with parachutes, you practice. You don't just wait for the plane to start crashing and then decide to practice your parachute. It's already time for us to take another break, and when we come back, we'll be having Dr. Green's spiritual moment of the day, plus a lot more to come. For Dr. Green, I'm Ed Jones, and stay with us.
You're listening to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake. We'll be back after these messages. Welcome back to Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake.
Welcome back, and thank you for making us a part of your day. If you're always on the move, download the free radio.com app to your smartphone or tablet and keep us tuned in each Sunday morning right here on 98.1 The Lake. We are a radio show that's all about your health, wellness, lifestyle, nutrition, and healthy living. I am Ed Jones, along with my partner and friend, Dr. Christopher Green, and in this segment, we always look forward to Dr. Green's spiritual moment.
Thank you, Ed. And this spiritual moment is brought to you by Silverdale Baptist Church. If you would like to learn more about Silverdale, please visit their website, silverdalebc.com. That's silverdalebc.com. They also have a free app you can download. Today's spiritual moment focuses on the hard times in our lives, times of trial that we all face from time to time. Times we may feel that what God seems to be doing in our lives just doesn't make a lot of sense. I'll begin with a quote from that well-known author and theologian C.S. Lewis. We are not necessarily doubting that God will do the best for us. We are wondering how painful the best will turn out to be. Next, a verse from James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Now, this has always been a hard verse for me to accept. To be honest, I have not yet reached the point in my life where I can truly say I count hard times of trial as joy. I know that perhaps I should be able to do that. I just cannot say that I am truly joyful about being in emotional or physical pain. But it is true that during these hard times, we tend to do the most introspection and meditation, looking for strength and meaning both in the difficulties and in life in general. These are the times that try our souls, and growth is one of the outcomes, spiritual and emotional growth. These times cause us to remember the things that truly matter to us, such as our faith and those we love, and the many blessings that remain in our lives amidst the pain we are experiencing. So we press on, looking to God in faith and living lives of purpose. I've said before that we should live our lives fiercely. I still feel that way. So during these times of trial, I will choose to focus my time and energy on the things that matter most to me, and I will not waste a single second of time or the opportunities that are given to me. The testing of our faith can produce perseverance and a life that is lived fiercely with purpose and grounded in strong faith. I suppose that could actually make us count trials as joy, and that would be my wish for us all. I will conclude with a verse from Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2 and verse 7. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And this has been your spiritual moment for the day. Ed, back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Green. And that was very moving. And I can feel that it was certainly not a scripted script. And we all appreciate that. At Nutrition World, we always are trying to have events to help educate the public. And I'm just a huge believer in educating, which is empowering people. You know, the models that much of what the world operates on is really dependency. And I'm kind of a opposite of that. I want to empower people with tools and knowledge and techniques that will allow them to live the most optimal, healthy life in many arenas, not only physically, but spiritually and emotionally. Well, there's two lectures we have coming up in this month. And on July 24th, the title is The Keys to Weight Management. We do have a lot of lectures on weight, but this one will be unlike probably any we have had. We're flying in a physician, Dr. Michael Smith, who Dr. Green and I have interviewed on this radio show. And he has been an author of many books, been on talk shows, and works with Life Extension Foundation as a practitioner. And he is what I call a very well-rounded and schooled physician in regard to functional integrative medicine. And he's going to explain, basically, and this is my words, why is it that you can have two people, perhaps married people or brother, sister, or whatever, and they eat about the same thing, but one of them is really overweight, and the other doesn't seem to have an issue. Yet they're eating and they're basically the same activity level. It all comes down to blood chemistry. It comes down to this balancing of different components like insulin and C-reactive protein and all these different functions that create a scenario of efficiency within the body. This efficiency is not only about weight, it's about health. And when you just look at a person, you can't tell what this biochemical blood chemistry is, but we can now, we have the technology and knowledge to evaluate that. And Dr. Michael Smith will be here on July 24th, and it's going to be a free lecture. And I encourage anyone who has an analytical mind, especially, to attend this to understand what we are speaking of. And it won't be just on weight. It's really weight and optimal aging.
Is it free or is it a cost?
It is free. Okay. And it will be, you can sign up on our Facebook or under the events page at nutritionw.com. And I am really looking forward to him being at the store. He's going to spend an afternoon also with my staff because I am a nut about educating our 27 employees.
Yeah, he is actually very well known. I would encourage everybody that can to go.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. And then the second lecture is something that I always have had a leaning toward, which is my belief that, and I call them medicinal mushrooms, not the salad bar mushrooms. The power of these specific types of plants, many are known by unusual names from lion's mane to reishi, shiitake. There's about 30 of the top different types of mushrooms. They are magical as far as how they have adopted and adapted to this world to create a almost super power within themselves to stay healthy. There's very few things pathogenically or disease that can attack these type of mushrooms if they're in the wild or they're growing with a type of organic system. They can actually take motor oil from the soil, use it as food, convert it into their own health, and change the soil back to something that's healthy. They also never get the diseases that most plants get. Now, what we found is when we ingest these in high amounts, sometimes when I say high amounts, in their capsule form, 6 to 8 or maybe 10 capsules per day, they are very supportive of our health. And we're going to have, again, someone flying down who's an expert in that. It's going to be on July 31st. It is a free one, a lecture, and you can sign up again at nutritionw.com under the events tab or on Facebook at Nutrition World. And I'm so excited to learn more about these mushrooms. And the more we learn about them, the more that they probably could save the world as far as environmentally. So I encourage anyone who has a real interest in this to please come and join in. Have you ever used medicinal mushrooms, Dr. Green?
Never have, but I did notice you said these are capsules. We're not actually ingesting the actual mushroom. It's a product.
It is because okay. You can't, as we all know, mushrooms have a very short lifespan and they don't stay fresh that long. And so we have to maintain these constituents. And luckily, mushrooms have the ability to be processed in, if they're done correctly now, processed into a form that is very stable.
And is there a taste? I remember it took me at least 40 years to develop a taste for mushrooms in my food, and now I like them. Is there a taste to the capsules, or is it tasteless?
No, we do have liquids. Very, very strong tasting. I actually don't recommend that. Now, one thing I will say is probably my most commonly reason for recommending mushrooms is when a person comes in with a very low white blood count. And again, I'm not treating anything. What I'm trying to do is maintain optimal levels. When they don't have an optimal level of white blood cells, there is some powerful mushrooms when taking at relatively high dose, 6 to 8 pills a day, that I have found to be about 75% effective in bringing that back to normal levels. And of course, many times, and we're getting more and more physicians, oncologists, who have to stop treating a patient with chemo because their white blood cells go too low.
I'm wondering if the hematologists locally are aware of this.
Only the oncologists are now sending or referring people into the store for these mushrooms. So it's a slow process of trying to educate the physicians. And I will say this. There are many companies not producing quality mushrooms in capsules, and that's where you have to be really cautious. So, they may have had a couple experiences and said, oh, it doesn't work. Well, it's probably because the quality of the mushroom was low rather than the fact that they didn't work. And we are neurotic about phasing out any product that we don't have full confidence in. We require lots of documentation from certificates of analysis all the way down the list of not having contaminants before we will offer a product to the public. Nutrition World is not about just selling things. It's about helping people. Well, believe it or not, that does it for this week's edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, a production from the Whitfield Media Group. Thank you for listening, and we'll be back here again next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for a radio show that's all about your healthy living. For Dr. Christopher Green from CHI Memorial, Georgia, I'm Ed Jones from Nutrition World in Chattanooga. Have a healthy day.
Thank you for listening to another edition of Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake with Ed Jones and Dr. Christopher Green. Vital Health Radio, presented by CHI Memorial on 98.1 The Lake, is a production of Whitfield Media Group. Join us next Sunday morning at 9 a.m. and have a great weekend.